Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise to get you well informed fast. Today, we're tackling something really complex, high-stakes stuff, modern financial systems. And did you know that poor data quality is often cited as one of the top reasons CRM projects fail?
That's right, customer relationship management systems.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely critical in finance, and getting them right, well, it's tough.
So today we're taking a deep dive into successful Salesforce Financial Cloud, or FSC, implementation. We've pulled together expert tips, some strategies from a recent guide, basically to give you a shortcut to understanding what it really takes to get FSC right. Our mission: unpack the critical steps, you know, from initial planning all the way to post-launch innovation. The idea is you can walk away feeling properly informed, ready to tackle these financial tech challenges. Think of this as your crucial guide for navigating these complex system rollouts. We're emphasizing that blend of strategy and practical tips.
Exactly. And it's important to remember, this isn't just about the software itself. It's really about transforming how financial institutions serve their clients, which is precisely why getting the implementation right is so vital. It's foundational. And maybe surprisingly, that foundation, it doesn't start with code. It starts with clear strategic thinking.
Strategic thinking.
Yeah,
that makes sense. But isn't there always that temptation, you know, in the real world to just jump straight into configuring the software?
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge temptation.
So what happens when organizations skip those first steps, those non-negotiables you mentioned?
Well, you've really hit on a critical point there. It's fascinating, actually, how much the success hinges on that upfront strategic planning, getting everyone on the same page.
Yeah.
If you skip it, you end up building something that, yeah, maybe it works technically, but it doesn't solve the actual business problems. And that leads to a system nobody uses, or worse, one that actually creates new problems, new inefficiencies.
Right. So not good.
Mm. Not good at all. So first, you absolutely must define clear, measurable strategic goals before any configuration. We're talking objectives like, say, improving Net Promoter Score,
yeah.
NPS.
That customer loyalty metric, right?
Exactly. Or maybe shortening the client onboarding time, increasing cross-sell ratios, enhancing audit readiness. These aren't just buzzwords. They're the North Star for the whole project. Second, and this flows right from those goals, is stakeholder alignment. You have to co-create this vision. Get people from sales, service, compliance, IT, all in the same room, figuratively or literally.
Like choreographing a complex dance.
That's a great analogy. Everyone needs to know their steps. Conducting requirement workshops, mapping out current state and target state workflows, it's meticulous work. And as Cinnabo observes, getting that alignment right significantly improves delivery times and, crucially, post-launch satisfaction, because everyone understands the why and the what.
Okay, makes sense.
And finally, knowing your segment. You need deep customization based on the specific financial segment you're serving.
Because a wealth manager needs different things than a retail banker.
Totally different. If a wealth manager logs in and sees a retail banking layout focused on, I don't know, simple deposits.
Yeah.
They can't do their job effectively.
Mm.
It's not just inefficient. It prevents them from having those tailored, high-value conversations needed for complex financial decisions.
Okay.
So for retail banks, maybe the focus is deposits, lending,
yeah,
omnichannel service. Wealth managers, they're prioritizing risk profiling, portfolio tracking, relationship depth. This means different screen layouts, maybe different dashboards focused on KPIs like AUM or portfolio churn, tailored action plans for specific workflows like loan onboarding or investment reviews.
So boiling it down, it's not just install software. It's align the business, define clear goals, know your audience, get everyone bought in first.
Precisely. Without that foundation, you're building on quicksand. And speaking of foundations, remember that point about why CRM projects fail?
Poor data quality, you said.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Poor data quality. It's like building this amazing house, but on a cracked foundation. It doesn't matter how great the rest is. That flaw will eventually cause huge problems. In finance tech, bad data is that cracked foundation. You absolutely have to treat data as infrastructure, not some afterthought.
That's a really powerful image, the cracked foundation. And it highlights the human element too, right? Not just the tech. So building on that, if data is so critical, what are the practical steps? How do you ensure quality? How do you manage it effectively?
Right, practical steps. First, you audit and you cleanse before you even think about migration. Mm-hmm. Identify all those upstream systems, core banking, document management, legacy CRMs, maybe even ancient spreadsheets.
Oh, the spreadsheets.
Yeah, always spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Then prioritize deduplication, standardization, enrichment.
Right.
Validate key fields, names, account numbers, balances, KYC statuses. It's like spring cleaning your attic before you move house, right? You wouldn't just dump everything, boxes and all, into the new place.
No, you sort it out first.
You sort, you discard, you organize. Same principle applies to your financial data. Second, govern early. Set up data stewardship. Appoint people responsible for specific domains like client profiles or product accounts. Enforce validation rules. Use pick lists, make key fields required, and critically define robust security policies.
Especially for sensitive financial data.
Absolutely. We're talking field-level encryption, shield platform encryption. Think of it as this ultra-secure digital lockbox for things like social security numbers or income details. Third, integration. Seamless integration. Most FSC projects, they need to talk to 5, maybe more, external systems.
Core banking, LOS, portfolio tools.
Exactly. So you use tools like MuleSoft, AnyPoint Platform for API orchestration. That's your sophisticated digital traffic controller, letting systems talk smoothly. You also use Salesforce Platform Events for real-time syncs, like when a new account opens. And batch jobs for handling large volumes of historical records.
Okay, all right. Strategy nailed down. Data cleansed and governed. Integrations planned. Then we get to the actual building within FSC. How you set it up to really maximize its power, but, you know, without getting totally bogged down in complexity.
Yeah, that's the balancing act. The key is to build around FSC's industry model, not against it. Leverage what's already there. For installation, setup. Use different sandboxes. Full or partial ones for testing. Developer sandboxes for configuration. Install the FSC managed package from the App Exchange. Then enable those critical features person account.
For that 360-degree client view.
Right. And financial goals for tracking milestones, action plans for those guided checklists, like for loan applications. Then configure the key objects. These are the building blocks in FSC holding your financial data. Households, roles of family relationships, financial positions, financial accounts connects deposits, loans, insurance. Financial goals tracks retirement, college savings, etc. And the client profile stores risk scores, investment preferences, liabilities, all that core stuff.
And for automation, making things efficient.
Prioritize declarative tools first. Think clicks, not code. Action plans are great for guided processes, ID check, then KYC review, then document upload step by step. The service console, maybe combined with Flow Orchestrator for more complex multi-step things, can manage guided loan applications or claims processes.
Clicks, not code sounds great for maintenance, definitely. But isn't there a risk? If a business wants a real competitive edge, could sticking only to clicks limit their ability to innovate or build something truly unique?
That's a really common and valid concern. The critical takeaway here is avoid over-customization initially. Every line of custom Apex code, every Lightning Web component, sure, they're powerful, but they can become a future headache, a liability.
Like building an addition onto your house without checking the blueprints.
Exactly like that. It works now, maybe. But future renovations, basic repairs, suddenly they're way more expensive, way more complicated. You get locked into this bespoke system, and it makes future upgrades, leveraging Salesforce's own innovation, incredibly difficult and costly. So, yeah. Start with configuration. Only use Apex or Lightning Web components for those truly unique edge cases where a declarative tool just can't cut it.
Okay, that makes sense. Build smart. Leverage the platform first. Now. It's 2025. No modern system feels complete without intelligence, right? AI. So how does FSC bring that in? And how does it empower self-service, give institutions real insights?
Yeah, absolutely. If we connect this back to the bigger picture, it's about moving beyond just storing data. It's about proactive engagement, predictive power. FSC uses AI-powered recommendations via Einstein Next Best Action. So it might suggest an insurance upsell based on a household profile or a new investment product. Predictive scoring can flag clients who might be at risk of leaving, letting advisors reach out proactively.
Preventing churn before it happens?
Exactly. And Einstein bots can automate routine support through live chat or SMS, freeing up human agents for the complex stuff. Then there's self-service. Using Experience Cloud, you can build customer portals, places where users can view balances, update their KYC info, raise service requests, all on their own time.
And that Gartner stat you mentioned, nearly half of clients prefer digital first now.
Right, 48%, which makes chatbots linked to these portals pretty crucial for faster service. Finally, analytics, turning data into actionable insights. You use tools like Tableau or CRM analytics to visualize KPIs, AUM per advisor, churn risk, SLA breaches, you name it. And integrating with Data Cloud lets you analyze high volume transaction data, behavioral signals, giving you much deeper, more dynamic insights.
That's a lot of power, a lot of complexity.
It is. Which brings us back to risk. Despite all this tech, what's the cost if errors slip through, especially post-implementation and finance? It's steep. reputational damage, regulatory fines, huge rework costs. It's why rigorous testing just isn't optional. It's non-negotiable.
Steep costs, yeah. That immediately signals how vital testing is.
Yeah.
So, okay, how do you ensure a flawless go live? What kind of testing are we really talking about here? Sounds like more than just a quick check.
Oh, it's way more. Think like building a bridge. You don't just hope it holds right.
Mm.
You test every single component, every stress point. There are several crucial phases for FSC testing. First, unit testing. This is testing the small pieces, individual flows, action plans, automation rules, custom fields, formula logic. You also automate apex tests so future deployments don't accidentally break things.
Okay, testing the building blocks.
Precisely. Next up, user acceptance testing. UAT. This is critical. You bring in the actual users, advisors, compliance folks, service reps, and get them to simulate real-world tasks. Opening new households, running through onboarding flows, filing mock claims. Whatever their daily job involves, it catches things from their perspective.
Defines the usability issues.
Exactly. Then, performance and load testing. You need to know the system can handle the strain. Run bulk data operations, load 10,000 accounts, say in a full sandbox. Test how fast reports and dashboards load with large data sets. Simulate peak times like end-of-month processing.
Make sure it doesn't grind to a halt.
You got it. And finally, integration testing. Making sure FSC talks correctly, back and forth with your core systems, your LOS, data lakes. You validate that data syncs properly and that errors are logged and handled, retried, or escalated correctly. You track key QA metrics throughout. Test coverage aim for over 85% defect rates, UAT completion, data migration errors. These tell you if you're really ready.
Okay, so rigorous testing is done. You've built this amazing system, but you can build the most powerful Ferrari, but if you only teach people how to drive a basic car, it just sits in the garage, right?
Yeah, exactly. Collecting dust. A huge potential waste of investment.
So how do you make sure people actually use SSC? How do you drive adoption?
Yeah, your CRM is only as good as its adoption. That Ferrari analogy is spot on. This is where a really human-centered adoption strategy comes in. It's crucial. First, role-based training. You can't just do generic training. Develop targeted curricula. Advisors need to learn household management, financial goals, the relationship center, service reps, case consoles, action plans, escalation flows, compliance, consent tracking, audit logs, policy workflows.
Tailored to what they actually do.
Precisely. And deliver it in different ways, hands-on workshops, quick reference guides, maybe even embedded help right inside Salesforce using in-app guidance. Second, identify champions. Find those early adopters across departments. Get them involved in UAT. Have them help with peer training. Let them be the first line for reporting bugs or suggesting improvements.
Yeah.
They become your internal advocates.
Your super users.
Your super users, exactly. Third, think about a phased rollout. Don't try to boil the ocean. Pilot it in one department, maybe wealth advisory first. Learn from that. Iterate based on feedback, then scale it out. Much less risky.
Learn and adjust as you go.
Mm-hmm. And finally, monitor adoption after go live. Don't just launch and forget. Track logins, track usage of key features. Are people actually creating financial plans? Use surveys to see how confident users feel. Offer ongoing support like office hours or a dedicated Slack channel.
So it's an ongoing effort.
Absolutely. Adoption isn't a one-time event. It's continuous. And tied into all of this, especially in financial services, is compliance. It's not just important, it's paramount. How do you embed that governance into the platform and the processes? FSC gives you tools, but it's definitely not automatic. It needs deliberate effort.
That's a huge point, yeah. In such a regulated industry, mistakes are costly. So beyond just flicking a few switches, what specific configurations, what ongoing practices do you need to ensure FSC meets those strict regulatory requirements?
Okay, you need a solid compliance configurations checklist. Start there. This includes things like enabling field history tracking on sensitive fields, balance changes, goal amounts. It gives you an audit trail. Who changed what, when?
Accountability.
Exactly. Use Shield platform encryption for PII, social security numbers, account details, that extra security layer. Manage consent properly using the disclosure and consent objects. You need to log those opt-ins, track KYC status, prove consent was given. Use validation rules. These are critical. Ensure records can't be saved without required AML flags or risk scores or necessary advisor approvals.
Stops bad data or non-compliant records at the source.
Right. And set up comprehensive audit trails to monitor user activity, set up changes, field modifications, keeps everyone honest. But it's not just initial setup. Regular review is essential. Review permission sets constantly. Apply least privilege principles. Only give access people absolutely need. Monitor data access logs. Make sure sensitive data isn't being viewed or exported inappropriately. And leverage compliance dashboards. Track overdue tasks, flag at-risk accounts, see missing disclosures. Gives you that real-time view of your compliance posture.
Okay, lots of checks and balances there. Now, measuring success. These metrics sound great on paper, AUM growth, onboarding time, but how do you stop them becoming just another report nobody looks at? How do you make them actionable? And how do you know if all this massive effort actually paid off? Keep the momentum going.
That's a fantastic challenge and a very real one. Without clear KPIs tied back to those initial strategic goals, it's impossible to justify the ROI or drive accountability. Those dashboards do become shelfware if you're not careful. And you're right, FSC isn't a launch it and leave it thing. It's a living system. So you must define ROI from the start, set up those pre-launch benchmarks, track progress post-implementation, tie it directly back to the why.
Got it. Tie it to the strategy.
Always. Common FSC success metrics, those KPIs. Things like the client 360-degree completion rate, what percentage of your accounts have a full profile, good indicator of data quality and understanding, advisor productivity, maybe accounts managed per advisor, onboarding cycle time, lead to active account, AUM growth, compliance completion rates, cross-sell, upsell rates.
But pick the ones that matter most for your goals.
Exactly. Don't just report everything. Pick the vital few that genuinely reflect your strategic objectives. Then, for post-go-live governance, you need structure. Form a Salesforce Governance Council. Have them meet regularly, maybe quarterly. Review user feedback. Look at new business requirements. Factor in regulatory changes. Prioritize the roadmap updates.
Keep it aligned with the business.
Mm-hmm. And stay ahead with Salesforce releases. There are three major ones a year, spring, summer, winter. Review them for FSC-specific enhancements. Test the relevant ones in sandboxes before they hit production. This keeps your platform current, leverages new features. Finally, keep innovating. Run smaller innovation sprints. Pilot quick wins, maybe a new chatbot for a specific task, a new analytics dashboard, SMS alerts. Involve the business teams. Do rapid prototyping. And look at integrating emerging tech financial data cloud for behavioral segmentation. Maybe Einstein GPT or Agentforce to help advisors in real time, connecting external data via MuleSoft or data cloud.
Keep the system evolving.
Keep it evolving with your business needs and the market. It's a continuous cycle.
Wow. Okay, that was a truly comprehensive deep dive into Salesforce Financial Cloud implementation. It's so clear that success isn't, you know, just about the software itself. It's this whole holistic strategy.
Absolutely.
Planning, data, build, testing, adoption, compliance, ongoing innovation. It's the entire life cycle.
It really is. If you connect it to the bigger picture, it's this continuous journey, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Plan, execute, evolve. The ultimate goal, really, is optimizing those processes, enhancing security, and delivering just superior, really personalized customer experiences.
Now, as you, our listeners, think about the future of financial services, maybe consider this. Beyond just the efficiency gains, beyond the better reporting, how might a truly well-implemented financial cloud system fundamentally shift the relationship clients have with their money, with their advisors? What new possibilities open up when all that data, that AI, that seamless service, when it all truly converges for you?